Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the parable that we have just read is usually known as the parable of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus tells this parable in response to a man's question on what it means to love your neighbour and who your neighbour is. But this morning I want to put a little bit of a different emphasis on it. Call it the parable of the wounded traveller. For this man is the other key player in the parable. And in some ways, the parable really focuses on this wounded man, on his needs, and on the willingness of others to respond to those needs. So firstly, we see that the man is traveling on a dangerous road. That road from Jerusalem to Jericho in Jesus' time was dangerous, and Jesus draws the illustration from the facts as they are around him at that time. It was a story that the people could identify with. Robbers, thieves and hooligans made use of that road and roughed people up in lonely areas, unsuspecting travellers, and they often beat them, stole from them, and sometimes even killed them. It reminded me in some ways when I was thinking about this story of some of the experiences that we had when we lived in Solomon Islands during the time of the ethnic tension. There are roads where you just didn't go because you knew that you would be likely to be ambushed or robbed or stolen. And there were times when we've seen that happening and we came close to experiencing those things as well. And maybe some of you have seen that in other places. And if we hear the news that we see around here at the moment, especially down in the Gold Coast at the moment, but there are other places, I'm sure, around Brisbane and around other capital cities, where you just don't want to go because it's dangerous. Something bad could happen to you. In some ways, it reminds me of the road that we Christians walk on as Christians, the road of life. We live in a world which is hostile to the kingdom of God and to the people of God. And we've seen plenty of evidence of that in the news, and I've no doubt that you've experienced that in your own lives probably many times. We're surrounded by enemies on every side. The temptations of this world are there to draw us away from the goals and values of God's kingdom. The lure of money, the attraction of worldly pleasures, the lusts of the flesh, being popular in the eyes of others. And the list can go on and on of things that would attack us, that would want to draw us away from walking a safe, holy, healthy Christian life. And yes, we do have to walk the road. We can't hide in our little cloisters or in our little closets or homes or little Christian enclaves. We do mix it with the people of the world. The Apostle Paul reminds us that our enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers under the control of the evil one. And even Satan himself goes round like a roaring lion seeking to destroy God's people wherever he can. And I can assure you that Satan is most active in his work, particularly where God's work is most actively done. You see, Satan doesn't worry too much about the bikey gangs and the pubs, but he does do his activities in places like church communities, Christian homes, Christian families, Christian schools. That's his battleground. He doesn't bother too much with the inactive backsliding Christian who doesn't take his faith too seriously. But he does take an interest on those who have an impact on the kingdom of God. Those who are like shining lights in a dark world in which we live. Christians who take mission seriously. Churches that take evangelism seriously. That preach the gospel seriously. That's where Satan is at work. He targets serious Christians. He targets Christian leaders. He targets the mission field. He targets those who fight for the kingdom of God and courageously speak up against evil. That's where his targets are. And if Satan can attack them and wound them and lead them astray, then he will have some measure of success. And so, congregation, for those, and I trust that that's all of us this morning, for those of us who are serious in following the Lord Jesus Christ, can you see that we need to walk a dangerous road? We do have to be on our guard. And there is no guarantee that at some time or other we may not be injured. And of course, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, that's what happened to this man who was walking along the road. He was terribly wounded. He received injuries from his attackers, and his wounds were open and painful. And if there was one thing that he needed, it was medical attention and gentle care. He was so wounded that he could no longer walk. Blood was pouring from him. And the Samaritan lifted him to his donkey and took him to a place of rest and healing. Dear friends, let us not think that those who are spiritually wounded are in any less care of comfort, healing, and help. Those who have come under the attack of the evil one and who have been wounded are also in mortal danger. People in great suffering, physical suffering, may sometimes well want to give up the fight and hand it over to death. And that's no less true for those who have been wounded spiritually. There comes a time in people's lives when they are so hurt that they are feeling so much pain. They have been under such great attack that they want to say, "Lord, that's it. I've had enough." And sometimes the easiest thing is to give up, to drop out, to ignore the remedies that are being offered because the pain is just too great. I don't know whether you've ever seen any of the films on the Amish community in the United States of America, and it's not just the Amish that do this, but there are some of the cults and sects that do this too, and it's the practice of shunning, where you deliberately ignore people, you push them away from you, you have nothing to do with them. Jehovah's Witnesses do that sort of thing as well, and there are probably other cults that do it too. If somebody in their community has done the wrong thing, has wandered away, has fallen into some or other sin, then they are pushed away by the rest of the community. They won't talk to them. They won't relate to them. They won't help them. They won't encourage them. They're avoided and no longer regarded as part of the family. And that kind of activity is just so opposite of what a wounded person needs. It's quite bad enough to have been wounded by the opposition, to have been affected by the terrible things that sin and Satan and evil can impact us on in this life. But then to endure even further wounding at the hands of Christian brothers and sisters is sometimes more than any person can bear. How easy it would be to give up, to stop the fight and let the evil enemy have his way with us when it appears that all other hope is gone. That wounded man may not have been unconscious after his terrible ordeal. As he lay there on the road, he heard the sound of footsteps, and he must have looked up, and there was a priest. And hope must have risen in his breast as he thought somebody was coming to help him. And then those footsteps just kept on going by. How despairing that must have been for the wounded man. And then perhaps his hopes were lifted once more as yet another set of footsteps came along the road. The Levite. And once more, he was ignored. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. How many fallen and wounded Christians have drifted off into unbelief because there has been no comforting hand, no kindly word, no gentle arm, no offered prayer, no visit, no encouragement, no word of blessing from those who are fellow Christians. Friends, without help, the wounded man on the road will die. And we can be thankful for that story, that there was somebody there to help him. But how many wounded saints have suffered a sad and tragic consequence, not only because of the fierce arrows of the enemy, but also because there has been no one to come and help, no one to say a prayer, no one to offer an embrace with a comforting arm, to offer consoling and loving words. How many people have just minded their own business and kept on walking? We see that to leave the wounded man alone is anything but right. And Jesus clearly portrays the priest and the Levite as having no love for the wounded traveller. And there's no doubt that Jesus certainly identified the religious leaders of the day as being in that category. They were people who wanted to keep the letter of the law. They were people who wouldn't defile themselves with the dirt and sinfulness of others. Their duty instead was keeping the strict letter of the law, and tragically they lost the spirit of the law. They lost the law of love, which is what this parable is really all about. Love is the fulfillment of the law, as the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans. It was the Samaritan that displayed the desirable response. He was the one who stooped to help his enemy. There was no love lost between Jews and Samaritans in those days. They called each other dogs. They despised each other. And I think Jesus very clearly used that story of a Samaritan to really hit home to the leaders and to the people that he was speaking to of the importance of this topic. The Samaritan, of course, just by stopping to help, put his own life in danger, didn't he? He put his own reputation on the line by stopping to help an enemy. My friends, I think in this Samaritan, we see a picture of Jesus, do we not? Do we not see Jesus in this character, the one who came to this world which had rejected him, the one who came to those who were his enemies, the one who came to put his own life on the line in order to show love, in order to show help, in order to save, in order to rescue from the clutches and the vice-like grip of evil and sin. Isn't that what we see in this story? Do we not see one who loves that wounded traveler so much that he didn't spare himself? That it didn't matter what it cost him? You see, in the parable, it was a couple of silver coins and maybe a little bit more if necessary, some wine and some oil and possibly some danger. But Jesus gave his life for wounded travelers, for you and for me. We see in the Samaritan the father waiting to embrace the lost son who had defiled himself in loose living and dwelling with the pigs. We see the hand of God gently raising the fallen, cheering the faint-hearted, encouraging the wounded sinner to come to Jesus to be healed and to find peace and to find rest. Friends, are you in this picture today? This parable that we looked at? I think you are. Perhaps often when we read this parable, we kind of think, well, am I the priest or the Levite? Am I like him? Or am I like the Good Samaritan? I mean, that's the point that Jesus really wants to make to this Jewish leader, doesn't he? Go and do likewise. Do what the Samaritan did. But it's possible that maybe you are the other man. Maybe you are the wounded traveler. Maybe you are the one who has been feeling battered and lost. There is pain in your heart and in your life because of the ravages and the torments of the evil one, the effects of sin, of broken relationships, people who should be loving you and encouraging you and who are not. Which of us has not felt the terrible attacks of the evil one? Which of us has not felt the effects and the wounds of sin in our lives? After all, it is sin that's the original cause of every sickness and disease, whether it's physical or mental. It's sin that is the cause of every broken relationship. It's sin that brings guilt and shame, brokenness and separation, and every conceivable hurt and pain that human beings can experience. Even the great apostle Paul cried out, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin?" And perhaps today you can identify more with the wounded traveler than with any of the others. Maybe you feel a little bit like Heman the Ezrahite when he penned those words of Psalm 88 that we heard so wonderfully explained 2 weeks ago by Pastor Andrew, where you come to the conclusion that the darkness is your closest friend. Beloved, there is good news for every wounded pilgrim. The grace of God is so abundantly great. There is grace to cover all our sin and all our wounds and all our pain and all our disappointment and all our hurt. Grace, of course, is never a license for sin, but it covers our sins if we humble ourselves before God and acknowledge our brokenness. Grace is the healing balm for our souls. It's soothing oil for our deepest wounds. Because grace points us to him who was wounded by wicked and evil men, who was deserted by his friends, felt forsaken even by his father and his God. Grace leads us to Jesus because in his woundedness and suffering we see ourselves. In his being deserted and laying down his life, he ensured that we would never be deserted or left alone. One of my favorite hymn writers is Charles Wesley, and he's written so many hymns. But there is one hymn that I'm sure we're all, most of us are familiar with the words. It's called Jesus, Lover of My Soul. And one of the verses goes like this. Other refuge have I none. All my hope in you I see. Leave, oh leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. Plenteous grace with you is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound. Make and keep me pure within. Friends, that's grace. Jesus, who identifies with the wounded traveler, identifies with you, and he identifies with me. He too was wounded and beaten and left alone. And he knows what we go through. He knows the suffering that we sometimes quietly endure. He is our true friend who pours the healing oil of grace into all our wounds. He carries us in his arms and leads us to a place of rest and healing. But Christ also shows his grace by sending Samaritans. He uses his human children, despite their weaknesses and frailties. And he calls on us too to be Samaritans. And we can be Samaritans even while we might also be wounded travelers. In fact, sometimes the wounded travelers make the best Samaritans because they've experienced what others are going through. And so he does call us to go to the wounded man or woman, to walk with them, to carry them, if need be, for as long as it takes. Friends, that we might be like Jesus, that we might seek out those who are struggling, those who are going through pain and hardship, those who are suffering quietly and inwardly, that we might befriend them, that we might minister to them, to bind up their broken wounds and to love them and to encourage them back to wholeness. That's what true love is. That's the love that we have been shown by grace. And now in the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we may show that love to others so that once again they with us may continue the journey to fight the good fight, to serve the King, and to advance the kingdom of God to his glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, often when we've looked at this parable, we've hoped that we would be able to identify with the Good Samaritan rather than the priest or the Levite. But in reality, we probably identify ourselves with the wounded man on many an occasion. Father God, we thank you that you have sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can identify with us because he suffered just like us. He was tempted and tormented and ultimately beaten, whipped, punished and killed on a cruel cross. But he did it to show us his love. And Father, when we see others who are suffering, give us the courage and the willing heart to reach out to them. And sometimes we don't have to say too much, but just to let them know that we care, that we pray, that we think. So, Lord, strengthen us anew. For those of us who are wounded, give us healing. And for all of us, Lord, give us the ability to love those who are wounded as we have been loved by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.